Tarika Lee Radio.
Shit off.
Kick it off.
These bitch ass niggas.
Kick it off.
These hoe ass bitches.
Kick it off.
Yeah.
Kick it off. Kick it off.
Push pack is the click. All these hoes on that dick. All these niggas try to trip, try to play, you hate to skip.
I'm doing this one for Chicago.
Coming hard and never soft.
I'm doing this one for Chicago because I'm coming to Chicago next week.
Kick it off.
I'm doing this for Chicago because I'm coming to Chicago next week, family.
Kick it off.
I gotta let it roll out. I gotta get some of that old school ghetto house in the mix real quick.
Kick it off.
Bang it.
Ass and titties. 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 Ass and titties.
Oh, I had to let that ride, family. I gotta let that ride. Had to do it for Chicago. I'm going to be in Chicago next week, man. What's up? Welcome to the Tarika Lee Radio Show. My name is Tarika Lee, also known as Tariq Nasheed, and I'm glad to be here. We're live right now. We're broadcasting simultaneously on Ustream. So shout out to all the people in the Ustream chat room, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to chop up some good game. We're going to take some calls, ladies and gentlemen. The phone number is 818-850-5404, and I will be listening to the people in the chat room, seeing what they're chopping up game about. Follow me on Twitter if you don't follow me, at Tariq Nasheed. And let me get into this real quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and I mean real quick. And when I get back, we're going to take some calls right now on the Tarika Lee Radio Show, so don't you go nowhere.
Are you real ashy and you don't know what to do about it? Does your knees and elbows look like you've been blocking bricks from being thrown at you? Well, if so, there's a solution. Check out SheaNaturalSkin.com. Now, this website has all types of shea butter, body scrubs, and bath crystals you need to stay smooth and non-crispy. They have different aromas like jasmine, lavender, carnation, and many, many more. So you need to go get moisturized at SheaNaturalSkin.com. Again, that's SheaNaturalSkin.com.
Are you a startup business, a musician, a small business, an artist, or just an individual who has no idea on how to market your work and get it out there, but you would like to? Check out ThreeHeadedDragonMarketing.com. At ThreeHeadedDragonMarketing.com, they give you a video training course on how to get your product out there. You can work at home. You can be your own boss. You can gain control of your life. If you don't know how to get your product out there and market it online, Three-Headed Dragon Marketing is for you. Go to ThreeHeadedDragonMarketing.com.
Yo, check out my man Kevin Gentry and his website, BecomeRichFamousFast.com. Kevin has a one-on-one private school coaching website, and he will teach you everything you need to know about the game. And you can call him directly at 404-207-5640. Call Kevin up and he will teach you everything you need to know about being a true player and having real, real tight game. So check out BecomeRichFamousFast.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered!
What is up? What is up, family? I am back. This is Tariq Nasheed. Ready to chop it up right here on Tariq Elite Radio. Shout out to everybody in the chat room on Ustream. Shout out to everybody in London. I just got back in from London. I had a ball out there in London at the lecture that I did at Friend's House. The brothers and sisters in London, they were absolutely amazing. So much love and respect to the family out there in London. The lecture was great. It was a packed house. We had a ball out there. Shout out to all the radio DJs I saw and visited and did interviews with. Shout out to all the other people in the media, the TV stations that I did interviews with. We're going to be posting up some more of those interviews later on this week, ladies and gentlemen. And the phone line is ringing off the hook. We're going to get on the phone line in a minute. But like I said earlier, I'm going to be doing a lecture in Chicago. And that is next, not this coming Saturday, but the Saturday after this, at the Black Women's Expo. It's going to be jam-packed at the Black Women's Expo. And that's going to be Saturday, March 28th, right in Chicago. Let me give y'all the website real quickly. I think it's blackwomensexpo.com. I think that's the website, but I will be on Saturday afternoon. And let me make sure this is the right website. You can get your tickets right now at theblackwomensexpo.com. So you can get tickets for that whole weekend, or you can get tickets for the day I'm going to be on, and that's going to be Saturday. I'll be on Saturday afternoon, and it's going to be entitled A Conversation with Tariq Nasheed. I'm going to be chopping up some real good games, so all my Chicago folks, you do not want to miss it. Even if you're in Indiana and surrounding places, you're going to want to come on up to Chicago. That's Saturday, March 28th. Get your tickets right now at theblackwomensexpo.com, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we got the phone lines lit up. Let's see who's on this phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, Tariq? This is OG Anonymous.
OG Anonymous, how you doing, family?
I'm just cooling, brother.
What's on your mind?
I just wanted to make a statement. I was noticing about the other day, some of the police allegedly got shot in Ferguson, right?
Right.
Okay. I was actually on Facebook, and I was noticing how Mike Brown's parents, they made some type of statement saying that they didn't want any violence or something, and they condemned it or something. And I just thought about some of the shows of how you express how it's done. Like, we always have to take the blame, you know, when things go badly. And basically, that could have just been something where they didn't have no comment. What do you think about that?
I believe that, man. And again, I was in the media in the UK talking about how that shooting sounds real suspicious and fishy. And we always have to sit up and make excuses for other black folks. We got to sit up and say, okay, well, I don't condone that black person, or I don't advocate what they're doing. But the white supremacists, they never really come out and condemn the George Zimmermans and the Darren Wilsons and all of these people. So I would just say no comment. I would say, just like I said when I was doing some news interviews out there in Europe, I was like, I need to see more evidence. I say some of the same things they say. But man, I feel you, just one more point
I just wanted to say. And also, with the OU thing, it seems like now there's a bunch of debates on TV about the word, the N word now, all of a sudden. And I saw that.
A
lot of brothers on it.
Yes, indeed. I'm a top game on that right now. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I've been looking at that. When I got back over here, I looked in the press, and there was a whole bunch of these weak ass debates about the N word, which is nothing but a damn deflection. These debates about whether the N-word should be used by black people, that's just the white supremacists trying to deflect and create a smokescreen away from white supremacy. While we're over here talking in circles about the N-word, they're still practicing white supremacy. If I was in those debates, I would bring it right back to white supremacy. Damn a word, let's talk about the actions of white supremacy. And is there like some kind of coonathon that's going on? Because it seems like a lot of brothers and sisters in the entertainment business are doing some soft shoe cooning. Some going full coon, some are like flirting with the coon train. There's a lot of people out here flirting with the coon train. I'm gonna talk about that in a second, but before I talk about that, don't forget, family, today is the last day to contribute to Hidden Colors 4 on Kickstarter. Go to kickstarter.com right now, and all the people listening live, if you haven't done it, I need you to go right now, because we're live right now. We're at $127,000 right now on Kickstarter, and we have 4 hours left, family. Let's get it over 30,000. If we can get it up to 50, that'd be great. 150,000 would be great. But let's get at least to 130,000. We're right there. Only a couple of thousand dollars away from that. So let's get it to at least $130,000. Hopefully we can get it up to 150,000 in the next 4 hours. But we got 4 hours to go on Kickstarter. So everybody go there and contribute. Now let's talk about some of the coonathon that's been going on. You got a lot of black folks in the entertainment business out here making excuses for white supremacy. Raven Simone. Raven. Let me get on her in a minute. I think I got a UK call right here. Let me see who this is. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, this is Tyrone calling from Manchester, England.
Tyrone, that's your name?
Yeah, Tyrone.
Tyrone, how are you? How you doing, Tyrone?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. I attended your lecture, man. It was proper good, man. Like, the energy and everything, it was great, man.
Yes, indeed.
Really good to see you in person.
Much respect, man. I appreciate you brothers and sisters coming out.
No problem, man. I just wanted to ask you a quick question.
Go ahead.
I know, like, over the years when you've been doing your stream, you've talked about when you first moved to LA, like, you had a bit of a bad situation. You was, you know, in a bit of a financial difficulties and stuff.
Yes.
And I wanted to know, like, what was the real turning point that helped you to really progress and become a success? What was the turning point?
The turning point was me understanding the system of white supremacy and how it worked and how a lot of things that were happening and a lot of traps I was falling into, they were designed by the white supremacists. And when I understood that, I learned how to avoid those pitfalls. And that's why I contribute reading Dr. Francis Cress Welsing's book as a turning point for me in the early 90s, because that made me see things with clarity. And once I saw things with clarity and understood the system that I was in, I was able to make moves and say, oh, okay, that's another trap. Let me avoid that right there. So I put a lot on Dr. Welsing's book. That's why I have so much respect for her, and that's why I always try to include her in my works. You feel me?
Okay, man. Yeah, I feel you on that. Just one other quick question. What advice could you give for other people who are going through, like, similar situations?
Same thing. Understand that the system of white supremacy oftentimes create extra obstacles in addition to life being as difficult as it is. It's already difficult going through life, but then the racial obstacles that's put there, just as do not fall for those obstacles. Overlook and turn those obstacles and keep pushing and stay focused on what you need to do to be successful and empower yourself and own something. All right? Thank you for the call,
man.
Brother.
Thanks a lot, bro.
Yes, indeed. But like I was saying, let me talk about Raven Simone. Now, Raven Simone has said some other questionable stuff in the past, and I don't know what has happened to our sister. I used to like That So Raven. My daughter used to watch that show, and I thought it was a cute show. But, oh man, poor Raven. Raven did an interview with Oprah Winfrey not too long ago, and Raven was talking that new black shit. Well, I'm not really black. I don't want to identify, something like of that effect. And Oprah was like, hey, you sure you want to say that? You know, Oprah was kind of letting her know, hey, you might not want to go there. But it was that whole, I don't want to be identified with black. And Oprah was like, sweetie, I don't think you want this. Are you sure you want to go there? Oprah was trying her best to pull that young girl's, I won't even say young girl, because we attribute a lot to what Raven says to her being young. But her ass is 30 years old now. So now you know better. Now she knows better. But she was on The View. Raven Simone was on The View the other day, again, making excuses for white supremacy. There was a story that came out about this guy. He's a white Latino commentator, whoever he was, and he made a very derogatory and racist comment about Michelle Obama, saying that she looked like something from the Planet of the Apes. Now, whenever people in the dominant society start talking about black folks looking like apes, that's just plain old white supremacy. It's nothing more, nothing less. White supremacists, they've always been saying black people look like apes. That's one of their things. So this suspected white supremacist, Latino, whoever the hell he is, because that's another thing. When white supremacists get caught, all of a sudden people start pulling out their ethnicity, trying to make it seem like they ain't white. Oh, he's not white. He's Hispanic. He's not white. He's Israeli. He's not white. He's Arabic. You know, they start all that bullshit. But the dude made a negative comment about Michelle Obama, saying she looked like an ape. And It was Rosie Perez. And shout out to Rosie Perez. Rosie Perez was representing because she was like, there's a lot of people in the Latina community who try to deny their blackness. And Rosie Perez kept it 100. And they were talking about this guy making these comments on The View. And then Raven Simone, she popped up. I don't think he was being racist. I'm sorry. I'm like, oh, God, it was cringeworthy. And then she said, Raven, out of her mouth, she said, well, there are people who look like animals. Oh, I cringed when I saw that. I'm like, sister, come on. I cringed when I saw that. I'm like, are you that desperate to get on the coon train? Y'all got to go look that up and hear it to believe it, man. When you get on TV talking about somebody's calling a black person a monkey and an ape and all this, and it's not racist, and hey, there are people who look like animals, that's your excuse? That's just sad. And children looked up to Raven. She said that, man. I mean, goddamn. So Raven, what's going on with you? That's that intersectionality thing. I talked about it that in London. A lot of black folks, they think if they get on this lesbian tip or claim gay or claim to be Creole, because I think Raven is on one of that. She's one of those people who's on that I'm Creole thing. Melanoid people, you're going to have to understand, running from other melanoid people is not going to save you from the horrors of systematic white supremacy. You're going to have to get with like-minded melanoid people and empower yourself. Now, I understand that those in the dominant society, when they shower you with resources that were already maldistributed away from melanoid people, you feel special and you don't want to jeopardize those maldistributed resources that were given back to you from the dominant society, because they can take it back away from you if they give it to you. But you got to understand how to play the game. Don't let them get you on the coon train. Do not let them get you on the coon train. When I was in London doing my lecture, there was a brother who stood up and he was like, he was very respectful. He's like, well, Tariq, you said that certain people, certain black people, we're going to have to leave behind. And I disagree. We should be in a position, we should go out here and try to save all black people and enlighten all black people so that we can conquer white supremacy. And a lot of black people, and my brother, he was very respectful, and I respect his ambition. And a lot of black people have this thing where you think that we can save all black people. Let's not leave black people behind. Let's save all of them. We're going to need to save all our brothers and sisters. And nothing is further from the truth. You can't save all these niggas. These new blacks, you can't save them. When black folks get on TV talking about, well, some black folks, well, you know, calling a black person an ape ain't racist. Dude, you can't save people like that. Unfortunately, a lot of black people have this thing where we can save all black folks. All black folks don't want to be saved. There's too many black folks who don't think that there's a problem. Do you really think somebody like Larry Elder can be saved? Really? You know how many Larry Elders are out there? And I, like I said in London, we spend a lot of our time and energy wasting on people who not only don't want to be saved, aren't worth saving. When coons make their decision to be coons, let them be. I'm not trying to convince a coon to stop cooning. He's made his decision or her decision. If she wants to be a coon or a bedwench, they've made their decision. I'm cool. It's almost like teaching students. If you're a teacher in a classroom, and if you spend all your time trying to convince the class clown to act right, you're going to be neglecting all of the other gifted students who's in class ready to learn and excel and take that knowledge and build with it. You're going to neglect all of these people who really need your energy and your input and your guidance and your tutelage, so that they can do something with it because they want to do something with it. Why are you wasting time on the class fucking clown who's going, he ain't going to be shit anyway. You can't, you put these motherfuckers in a certain class and you keep it pushing. I'm not in the save a coon business at all. When I hear coons talk coon talk, and a lot of fake Hotep niggas are coons, they're really coons. They try to act like they are somehow conscious, but a lot of these niggas are major coons. These people can't be saved, unfortunately. So you need to spend all your time and your energy on people who you can build with. And when I'm going to go on a lecture tour pretty soon, and I'm going to really break down the code of conduct that we need to have, because I've been going around letting people know that we need a code of conduct. And what I want to do now, I want to start actually letting people know what the codes of conduct should be. So that's going to be coming pretty soon, family. Let me get another call. What's up? Who's calling?
King Flex. It's K-Dibs calling from New York. What's going on?
What's going on, man? How you doing, family? What's on your mind?
Everything's good. You know, I just wanted to call in, check in, remind the kids and young adults the importance of conforming and adjusting, you know, being and appearing and being normal and regular, because when you don't, you look crazy. And I'm doing this so you don't have to go through the BS, but I'm saying it so you don't have to go through the BS. You know, take it easy, because if you don't, you know, you become ostracized, persecuted, ridiculed, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just trying to save the kids and the young adults from going through that bullshit, you know?
Yes, indeed. All right, thanks for the call, brother. I'm going to be honest. I don't know what that brother was talking about. I'm going to be real honest. The brother lost the shit out of me. Did any of y'all make out what the brother was saying? Some of it I got, but he kind of lost me a little bit. Sound like the brother just had a dictionary open and just started reading shit. Principalities and insurmountable dedication, and you see the entities of the principle of the haberdashery. Okay. But I get my brother's passion, all right? Shout out to the rapper Common. And a lot of people are getting on Common's case because Common made a comment. And I like Common. A lot of people were like, you need to put Common on the coon train. But I think Common was forced to kind of make the comments he made. Now, this is what Common said. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. But he said something to the degree of, I think he was on The Daily Show, one of those shows. And he said, well, black people can help stop racism by just loving white people. Was it something, the chat room, I know you guys are listening live. Did he say something like that? Was it, basically it was something about loving white people, love the hate away or something like that. Common said something to the effect, if we just love white people and just love them, that's going to stop racism. And I think they made him say that. It was a little goofy. Somebody said, Jay Prince said it was goofy. I think he was made to say that because that ties into that whole Selma thing. Because, you know, Common was in Selma. He won a Grammy. Not a Grammy, but an Oscar for the soundtrack. And they're tying all of that Selma, turn the other cheek, love thy neighbor bullshit. So they made him say that. They made him say that. So that's why I'm kind of giving him a pass. And I wish the brother wouldn't have to do that. Because basically in Hollywood, man, they say it's like this. Say what we want you to say or you ain't going to work. And that's what they did to Monique. It's like, Monique, you better get out here and play the game. You see those words they use? That's what Lee Daniel was telling Monique. Get out here and play the game. And if you don't play the game, well, we ain't going to put you in movies like we used to. So that's why we got to get into a position to control what we do and be able to distribute it to the masses and support it. But that ties into that whole Selma civil rights rhetoric. And I talked about that a lot when I was over there in Europe because they were talking about the 50th anniversary of Selma. And I was going in on that stuff. So y'all got to wait till some of the other interviews come out. The interview that y'all saw on Arise TV. And shout out to Arise TV. That's a news, a worldwide news channel. And it's actually African owned. So I highly support that news network. Arise News is owned by, I think, the president of Nigeria, or is a Nigerian billionaire owns it. So I really support that network, and it's global. It's in a few countries. It's over in Europe. They got it all over the place. And there are a couple of other news networks and news channels that I did interviews on, and I really dropped some real good heat, and I can't wait for you guys to see that. But see, while we're out here being told to love our enemies, see, they're not loving us. I'm not loving no white supremacists. Because there was a story that we put on Melanoid Nation, melanoidnation.org, by the way. Everybody go to melanoidnation.org. And don't forget, go to kickstarter.com. We have 4 hours left to contribute to the Hidden Colors 4 Kickstarter campaign. So you only have a few hours, family, to get up and be a part of history. Hidden Colors 4 is going to be history, just like the other three. But we put up a story about there's a gun show in South Dakota. And like I said before, a lot of those gun shows around the country, those are none but meeting spots for white supremacists, for hardcore white supremacists. That's where they meet up. That's where they spread a lot of information. They do it at these gun shows all around the country. That's why y'all see these gun shows bringing in George Zimmerman and having him sign autographs, and they treat him like a celebrity. Gun shows around the country are like white supremacist conventions, man. And this one dude in South Dakota at a gun show, he was selling targets of black people, gun targets that you can shoot of a black man. It was called the running nigger target. And he was selling, he said he sold about 500 of these targets. And, you know, the targets were sitting right out there. He was selling them, and they interviewed him. The people came out and interviewed him like, hey, what's up with you selling these racist targets? He was like, well, hell. He didn't even back down. He was like, well, hell, what's wrong with them? They're just targets. You know, they're just targets. I mean, you know, I'm selling them. I sold about 500 of them. So what's the problem? So obviously he's been selling them all over and for a long time, and people there supported him. So he was like, well, what's the deal? You know, he went into some rant about blacks and Negroes. Well, there's blacks and you got Negroes, and which is something that the white supremacists picked up from Chris Rock. That's some, the white supremacists love using that 1996 Chris Rock blacks and niggas routine. They love that because, see, they don't really have a real definition as to what a nigger is. So what they do, they use that to try to make some kind of weak definition or differentiation between blacks and quote unquote niggas, which they all think we're niggas, by the way. Let's just be clear. But that just goes to show these white supremacists ain't loving us. I don't love no damn white supremacists. I'm not into the convincing the white supremacists that I matter. Oh, Black Lives Matter, white supremacists. Can you love me? Fuck all that. I talked about that when I was in the UK. We better get off that trying to get the white supremacists to love us and let them know we matter. Damn a white supremacist, man. You better get your damn empowerment up. Get your money game up. I'm all about melanoid empowerment. That's it. You feel me? Let me get another call and see who we got on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Hello?
What's up? Who is this?
This is Tyrese.
Yes, who is this?
You said you wanted me to call you back.
What's your name?
Lisa.
Lisa, were you the girl who you called up and your mom was the Negro Bedouins, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So how's everything going with you?
You said your Ustream. I tried to call you on Sunday, but you said that it sounded tore up inside.
Yeah, you sounded tore up inside.
I didn't think I sounded like that.
You know what tore up means? Like, tore up means meaning that just emotionally conflicted. That's what I mean. You know what I'm saying? Like, tore up emotionally. You still sound kind of tore up emotionally.
Okay, because a lot of people were saying that I sounded like I could be on narcotics, and how I would let men use me, which people were commenting about it.
Okay, so are you on narcotics?
No.
Okay. All right, you're good. Now, there was something I wanted to ask you, but, you know, I forgot what I wanted to ask you. So maybe let me ask the people in the Ustream chat room. Ustream chat room, do y'all remember what I wanted to ask her? I wanted to ask her something, but I forgot what I wanted to ask her because so much has been going on since she called the show. So if y'all can jar my memory real quick, if not, I will have her call in to the Ustream show on Sunday. Okay, I guess nobody remembers and we don't really have the time right now. So I'll have you call back on Sunday on Ustream, all right?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'll try to call.
Okay, and stay off the narcotics. She does kind of sound like she's on the narcotics, but she said she ain't on the narcotic. Like I said, man, we only have a few hours for everybody to contribute to Hidden Colors 4 on Kickstarter. Go to Kickstarter.com. Only a few hours left. Today is the last day. Only a few hours left, family. Go to Kickstarter.com and contribute. And don't forget to join me in Chicago, not this coming Saturday, but the Saturday after this, March 28th. Get tickets at the BlackWomen'sExpo.com. We're going to have a ball in Chicago, ladies and gentlemen. Now, speaking of empowerment, now, y'all know I've been talking about this on my Ustream show. We at melanoidnation.org, we are still offering a microloan for anybody who comes up with a good idea on starting a business. We're going to do one. We want somebody to give us a good idea. Whoever gives us the best idea, we're going to give you a microloan. It's going to be $3,000. Now, you're going to have to pay it back later. Don't get it twisted. This ain't free money, but it is free money up front. Now, all we want a melanoid brother or sister to let us know what kind of business idea you have. And let's get it popping. We'll give you the money to get it started. And you guys can email me at info@tariqelite.com with your business plan. And this is what I want to talk about. We want to talk about how to flip work. Because the thing is, there's a lot of people out here who talk about they want to start businesses or whatever, but when it's time to really get down, people don't want to do anything. So I want to give people some ideas on how to flip work. And you can flip some money and get it popping and get a business popping for less than $3,000. But we're giving you $3,000. We're loaning you $3,000. MelanoidNation.org, we're loaning you $3,000. So if we see that you're going to do something with it, we're going to give it to you. You just got to let us know your ideas. You got to know how to flip work. See, this is why I like people who got a little hustle spirit about themselves. And I'm not talking about some pie in the sky shit, because there's some people who sent some ideas that was just some nigga shit. You know, people, I got a dozen people who want to get their mixtape out. No mixtapes. Enough with the goddamn mixtapes. Because I heard some of these mixtapes and these shits are garbage. So even if, you know, we're not even doing the mixtape thing. We got to be a little more creative. And I want to give y'all some ideas on how to flip work for under $3,000. There's a lot of things you can do to flip your money for under $3,000 and get it started. So I want some people to get at me with some of your ideas, some of these sisters, some of these brothers, and let's get it going. We're trying to get entrepreneurship going on. And I'm going to give y'all 15 ideas on how you can flip work for under $3,000. So the microloan that we give you is going to be more than enough. All right? Now, number one, the first thing you can do, and I talked about this before, you can buy a tattoo gun. How much are tattoo guns, family? Those little tattoo making guns? How much is a tattoo gun? And I'm calling it a gun. I think that's what it's referred to as. You can get a tattoo gun for, what, $1,000? and then get you a space somewhere and start doing tattoos, especially a lot of you people who know how to draw, a lot of you people who know how to do art. So it's cheap. Somebody in the chat room said it's about $150. So that's more than enough. $500? Okay. A tattoo gun is around $500. Yeah, man. Tattoo people who do tattoos make good money. There's always people trying to get tattoos. So you can get a tattoo gun. If you know how to draw, get it in. So that's one way you can flip work. Number two, the second thing you can do, all you sneakerhead dudes out here, you guys into sneakers, you like sneakers, and everybody on your block is into sneakers, what you can do, get your little booth at the mall. That don't cost too much. Get a booth in the middle of the mall in your city, wherever you are, and have a sneaker cleaning business. Just clean people's sneakers. Everybody likes to have their kicks clean. Clean sneakers. Or come up with a homemade sneaker cleaning solution and do that in your city. The third thing you can do for under $3,000, if you want to flip work, you can buy a t-shirt presser, a silk screening machine where you can actually make t-shirts for other people. I think that costs, what, a grand or two? And then just advertise, hey, man, I make t-shirts. If you need your t-shirts done, I can do your t-shirts for you. Easy stuff. There's a lot of good ideas that's out here. Because look, if I wanted to flip work and I had $3,000, I know how to get money. I know how to be creative. So you got to start being creative with getting money out here and flipping work. Because look, people in the dominant society, they know how to be creative. You got people out here. My wife hired this person. We hired a breastfeeding specialist. There's a lady gave us her card about a year ago, and my wife called him. And this company, they go around, and women who give birth, they teach them how to breastfeed properly, and these women make good money. Sisters can be doing that. Oh, there's breastfeed specialists, dude. I'm telling you. There's all types of ways out here to get paper, man. Now, number four, a way to get money, you can be a virtual assistant. Now, a lot of companies in India, they have this. And I hired them before. Basically, all you need is a computer and Skype. And basically, you can become an assistant for people online and advertise your virtual assistant services where you assist people with certain things. You help people look up and research things. But you can become a virtual assistant and charge by the hour doing that. And you can do it from home. Now, number five, another thing you can do computer repair. A lot of you guys, you computer geeks, you know how to work computers and all that. And all you basically need to do that is a license and insurance in your city, probably. And that might cost $2,000 at the most. So you can fix computers. You can set up shop somewhere and fix computers. Now, number six, another thing you can do for under $3,000, family, you can flip work. You can start a cleaning service. You can start a cleaning service. And all you need for that are mops, brooms, and some Windex and Pine Sol. That's all you need. And all you got to do is advertise. You can go around making flyers and putting them on people's doors. You go somewhere where they're big houses or nice houses or even halfway looking houses and just really put the flyers on people's door. They do that in my neighborhood all the time. I see cleaning service flyers on my door all the time. And you can get your business popping. That's what Mimi from Love and Hip Hop, that's what she does. She has a house cleaning business. That was before she was sucking dick on film and riding dick on shower curtains. You know, but while she ain't got a dick in her hand, she has a mop in her hand. So there's a lot of stuff you can do. PC repair is easy. Somebody in the chat room said PC repair is easy. It's very easy. Another thing you can do, family, you can do pet walking. A lot of people love their pets, and you can get out there and walk people's dogs for them. You can walk people's dogs, and also you can be a pet pooper scooper cleaner. We hired a guy. We had a guy named Mr. Scooper who comes and cleans our dog poop out of the garage every week. Now, number eight, family, the eighth thing you can do to flip work, you can buy vending machines. Vending machines, what, $500, $1,000. You get you a vending machine, put a bunch of snacks in it, and then find another business where you can put it in, and then give that person like a little monthly kickback for letting you put your vending machine in his business. They don't mind, because that's extra money for them. Find a barbershop or anybody who has a business. Find the brothers out there who have barbershops. Say, hey, brother, let me give you $100 or a couple of $100 a month to put my vending machine in your shop, brother. And make good money doing that. Now, number nine, you can hire yourself out as a tutor. You can help children. You can help adults with their GED. And just advertise. You can advertise online. Advertise at schools or community colleges, like, hey, I can tutor you with math. Now, you got to be a smart motherfucker, though. You can't be no dumbass trying to talk about you tutoring somebody and you send them, oh, 5 plus 5 is 50. You know, you know, if you got sense, now that's who I'm talking to. If you want to be a tutor, because people always need tutors. Now, number 10, what you can do, get your barbershop up. Less than $3,000, you can open up a barbershop, get you a couple of chairs, get your hair clippers, rent out a space, get a barbershop if you got barbering skills, even if you don't hire a motherfucker who got barbering skills. So there's so many ways to flip $3,000. Number 11, what you can do, you can become a personal trainer. All you buff dudes out here, especially some of you guys have been to the joint and you done learned how to do some of those calisthenics in prison, or even if you ain't been in prison, you hire yourself out as a personal trainer. Personal trainers make great money. Go to the gym and just start teaching motherfuckers and be like, hey, man, you ain't lifting that right. Holler at me, man. I'll give you some classes. Now, number 12, what you can do, you can be a baker. You can bake stuff and sell it. You can sell pies and cookies. Get you a little booth at the swap meet or the flea market in your city. And what, the flea market swap meet rentals, that's like $500 a month. You get you a little booth and sell. You got a grandma who can make cookies, or you know how to make cookies and pies. Make your own little cookies and snacks and sell them shits at the swap meet. And get you some paper. And speaking of selling treats and stuff, number 13, you can sell gift baskets. I dated a girl who would sell gift baskets. And all you need to do is just get a whole bunch of random stuff. You get you some teddy bears and some soap and some cocoa butter and some Rice Krispies and some confetti. And make baskets out of them bitches. And you can sell them for any occasion. You can sell them on the corner. You can sell them anywhere in front of a gas station. You got to hustle. You got to grind. And you can sell them for any occasion, for Christmas, for Valentine's. You can sell some Thanksgiving baskets, some graduation baskets, some welcome home from prison baskets. You know, you can put some little snacks, some ramen noodles, and some KY jelly in there to remind a motherfucker about his booty hole getting toe up. Whatever. And number 14, what you can do music lessons. A lot of dudes out here who play piano, dudes play guitar, put up flyers in the neighborhood or advertise on Craigslist that you give guitar lessons, you give piano lessons, and teach people. The only overhead you need is a piano, a guitar, a pan flute, a banjo, whatever you play. because your money is going to be in the advertising for certain things like that. You can advertise. You can pay for advertisement on Facebook. You can pay for advertisement on Twitter. Again, Craigslist is a good venue for advertising. Yeah, like my man Jay Prince said in the chat room, he said boxing lessons, that's a great thing to do. And number 15, another thing you can do, and this for the ladies especially, you can do massage therapy. Now, you got to get your license and all that. But the license, I think, is no more than a couple of $1,000, I think. And you can do massage therapy, especially for the elderly, for people who are injured. You can do that. Now, don't be trying to sell pussy on the side, because that's a lot of times people get into massage therapy and be low-key slinging that thing. And you don't want to do that. You mess your license up. But I'm just giving y'all a lot of good ideas on what you can do to flip work for $3,000 or less. And again, with the melanoidnation.org foundation, we're going to give people a micro loan of $3,000. So give me some good ideas on how you can flip that work, and we'll let you roll with that. No mixtapes, none of that dumb nigga shit. We got enough mixtapes out here. So just come up with some more ideas on what you need to do and what you can do to flip some work. And I see some of these dudes out here might be trying to give massages, and y'all, you know, y'all keep it on the up and up. Don't be out there giving hand jobs, brothers. Don't do things that your grandma won't be proud of. Niggas out there giving dudes massages, and then you slip a happy ending on a nigga because he didn't give you an extra $40. Don't do that. But anyway, y'all, let me get up out of here. We've been on here a long time. Don't forget, family, we only have a couple of hours left to contribute to Kickstarter for the Hidden Colors 4 campaign on Kickstarter. Only a few hours left. Go to Kickstarter.com, type in Hidden Colors 4, and contribute to the Kickstarter campaign, family. Let's get it up to, let me see where it is right now as we speak. Let me look at it right now to see where we are, because we should be at least 130,000. Where are we at right now, family? I'm looking at it. We're still at 127,000. We need to get it at 130,000 in the next 4 hours, family, so we can do that. And also, don't forget to join me in Chicago, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, March 28th, doing a live lecture at the Black Women's Expo. Go to the blackwomensexpo.com and get your tickets right now, family. I'm going to holla at you, family.